take now the scriptures of the Word of God, and we'll turn in them to Philippians chapter 3, and we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 21. Philippians 3, verses 1 through 21. Beloved, let's hear now the Word of our great God. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God, on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude. God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. And that is the word of the Lord. So just as he did in much greater detail in the book of Galatians at the beginning, especially here he begins by warning the church at Philippi of the Judaizers. They were the ones calling Gentiles to be circumcised so that they would be saved. Instead, we know what Paul said there in Galatians, that being saved, having eternal life comes from, being justified comes by faith alone. And he says that yet the true circumcision are those whose hearts are circumcised. The hearts are circumcised. And who worship the Lord through the Spirit, putting no confidence in their own flesh, but in their Savior Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Instead of following after their doctrine and practice, the Judaizers, instead of following after their doctrine, Paul encourages them to follow after his own life. To follow his own example through verse 80, saying that above all things, and his view is always the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus his Lord, and Lord willing, our Lord. And it is by knowing Jesus that he suffered that Jesus suffered all things, that Paul says he suffers all things as loss and rubbish so that he could gain all in Christ. And how is he able to lead by example? But by the righteousness that is found alone in Christ that comes through faith in Christ. He says, verse 10, that he may know him, Jesus, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to Jesus' death, all so that he would be raised up from the dead. And just as is true in all lives of Christians, Paul hadn't obtained that complete conformity yet. He was not perfect yet as he wrote this. And so we, as he was calling the church in Philippi, so we are being called to pursue complete sanctification, to pursue it in this life now. Paul was leading by example in this. He says he presses onward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Even we heard of that we were called to be holy and blameless in Ephesians 1. And so he presses all of us here today, of those who have been justified and made right in the sight of God, that is, you are perfect in God's sight, in the declarative sense, you are to pursue complete and perfect righteousness in your lives. And then finally, Paul closes with an exhortation to beware of wicked, sinful men. And again, follow his example. You see, in your pursuit of perfection and your pursuit of sanctification and holiness, there will be those around you amongst the world who are wicked, who will tempt you to turn from pursuing personal piety, who will want you to and tempt you to turn from sanctification. And so you are to pursue with discernment, beloved, holiness. Because what awaits us as citizens of heaven already is a coming Savior, one who will, he says at the very end here, transform our bodies. He'll give us, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, new glorified bodies. But here he answers, how do we receive those glorified bodies? He tells us, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. And he will even subject your own bodies. And they already are subject to him. For he is sovereign and in control of all things, and he is all powerful, sitting on the throne. And so as we think of these things, let us go to the Lord now in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for what we are looking forward to and hope, at least in our physical bodies, that they will be raised up from the dead, or raised to join Christ in the cloud as he comes again. And we will have new glorified bodies that come through his power to change or rid ourselves of our current bodies and give us new bodies. Ones that are perfect and no pain, no cancers. And we will have even no sorrow. But as you call us at the beginning of the chapter through your servant Paul, we rejoice. We rejoice in hope of that. We also rejoice in hope that we will be one day with Christ, with you, Father. Even as we look unto our world, as Paul warned us, they, the world, always trying to tempt us, Satan always prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone, one of your church, Christians, seeking someone to devour. And yet, Father, may it be that we would, in your power, by your Spirit, not give him such pleasure. That is Satan. But that we would pursue sanctification and holiness by your word. And we would love to be your people, that we would press on toward the goal that we are called to be holy and blameless in your sight. And thankful that in Christ you see us as perfect. And yet, Father, we know that you are grieved still by our remaining sin. Father, forgive us of our sins. And Father, as we are called here to rejoice, we do rejoice even what you have done this past week in our nation. We are grieved over it, and yet we must confess, as your word says, that you work all things together for our good, and so we rejoice in that. That whatever has happened this week is for our good, though we might not see how. Perhaps we could speculate that you will make us greater servants of you, those who desire to proclaim the gospel to more people, that they would be saved, that we would perhaps be spurred on to love people more, whereas often perhaps we are found to be those who make fun of people or ridicule people for their sin. And yet, Father, we are sinners ourselves. And so, Father, we ask that you would make us a people who love one another, even love our enemies, just as Christ loved us while we were still your enemies. Father, may we show that example before the church and this world and this country. And Father, we do constantly, as you ask us to, pray for our governing authorities. And yet we are perhaps desirous to condemn them and rebuke them as we ought with the Scriptures. Perhaps we're tempted to pray what we call imprecatory prayers, prayers that they would be judged. And yet, Father, we ask, as you tell us to, we ask that you would be merciful to them and save their souls, and that you would grant them an understanding of the gospel, not in a flippant way or way that has broadly or generally been taught, but that they would be convicted of their sin, just as we, who are your people, have been convicted of our sin and turned and believed and repented of our sin, turned from it unto you. Lord, may it be true of them who rule over us. And Father, we ask that our focus would not be on sexuality or sexual sins, for we commit sexual sins all the time. Well, Father, we ask, as even your servant Paul here in Philippians 3 tells us, that our focus would be on Christ and on the gospel, and that even in conversation and evangelism to all people, even in the face of perhaps growing suffering and persecution for your people, may we remember your servant Paul, and that we would count all things for gain for Christ Jesus, that we would even be willing to suffer for his sake, that the gospel would go forward. And so, Father, as we rejoice in your word and your promises and the hope that we have, we also grieve and are sorrowful this week, on this, the Lord's Day, because of what has happened in our culture and the continual growing rampant sin and continual hatred of your people. And yet, Father, cause us to love such. For while we were enemies and we were dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ died for us. And may we love our neighbor as Christ has loved us. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.